Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to All With All Dude Respect. That's Dude, D-U-D-E. And I am Rick Wright, and with you, as always, is my co-host, Jim Ellis. Jimmy, how are you?
Doing great. Great day. Day after my birthday. Ready to roll.
I was going to ask you, how was your birthday yesterday?
It was a magical day, you know, besides being pampered by my wife, you know, doing all these gifts and fun hike. I had kind of a magical delivery in the post. These books that I've written 8 books, and I have a whole bunch of orders on that I put out there. And I was supposed to get it a week from yesterday, and it actually came yesterday around, I'd say, 8 p.m. So, like, we look on the porch, and there's all these books. I was kind of nervous if they were going to show up in time for the book launch that's happening next week. Oh, no, it comes on my birthday, like at 8. Didn't even notice it. So, I don't know. It's kind of a magical day, and I was very happy.
Cool. Excellent, man. Good to hear that. I'm glad you had a great birthday. And
what
do we have
going
on top for today? Well, my week's great. It's been, again, the Northeast has still been pretty good with weather-wise. So it's been nice. I've been able to be outside, and business was a little busy, but I was able to handle it. And the breakthrough and good thing was is in a peaceful way, in a peaceful manner.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's kind of a lead-in to our show today.
You know,
this is a very different show. I don't think there's ever been a radio show, a TV show. I've never seen anything like this. So that's why I like this idea. And it has to do with the campaign. Oh, nothing new there. But here's what makes it different. Instead of spouting off the different opinions, this opinion versus that opinion, you know, you've heard, and if you're ever on Facebook, you'll see opinions flying about. Nobody, it seems, is listening to the other side. It's not like one opinion goes out there, someone blasts something out, and then another person goes, you know what, I get it. Thank you for sharing. Nothing like that. So this show, I thought it would be a cool idea, and Rick was all on board. Thank you, Rick, to have a show where we have some compassionate communication experts on the show, and we actually use some of the attack lines that have been given by Hillary and by Trump, and to see what would the actual response be from either of them if they were actually listening to the other side rather than attacking the other side. Did that make sense, Rick? Do you think the audience is on board with what we're doing?
Yeah, and I think is that as we get into it, it'll become more clear. And I'm excited because the conversation we had earlier in the week, we're like, if people can communicate in this manner, the world would be a different place, be a better place. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, there wouldn't be as much defense. Like I think you're reading the book now. There's a book called A Course in Miracles that talks about when you're defensive, then you're automatically guilty on the inside. Like deeper inside, you actually have a sense of guilt if you're starting to defend yourself. I got to defend myself. But if you're actually listening to another person and you're trying to connect with them, it's a totally different world. You know, it's unity over conflict. And you know, what kind of world would that be?
Yeah, it'd be an amazing world, especially since we're getting a great example of how it cannot be with the way things are going right now. So I'm actually looking forward to the 9th so I can get my Facebook. Actually, it'll probably take a couple of days to cool down, but I'm looking forward to getting my cool Facebook stuff back instead of all this other blah, blah, blah noise.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. So before I introduce the guest, I just want to mention this is with all dude respect. So I want to just mention, because we talk a lot about men's work and things like that. This might seem like a little bit off, off the scope of what we do. But I notice in our men's circles that we do have certain phrases, certain things that we do that is related to listening, actually compassion, even though we don't call it that. I mean, do you notice that? Is there any place that you notice that happening in our circles?
It, like, well, it all it's so funny. There's such a different culture. In our organization, there's so many different cultures. So in my region, which is the Mid-Atlantic region, which is encompasses the Mid-Atlantic region, there's some, you know, there's more hardcore in your face stuff, warrior, not so much the lover. And not so when that was a, this is, I'm talking jargon from a couple of weeks ago, maybe more clear. There might be a more aggressive nature in processing or speaking with men. I'm guilty of it. You know, at the end of the cycle, we'll go, or at the end of the year, we'll go through like what was working for you, what didn't work for you. And then our team would give me feedback, and we'd give other men feedback. And, you know, one year men really handed me my ass. They said, you know what? They said, you know, when you speak with a forked tongue. There's no compassion. There's nothing. You just lay it out there. And I was sort of like, well, this is a men's circle. Why can't I do it that way? I'm like, well, there's a way to do, you can do that, but the listening of that might not be as good as if you delivered it differently. And I was like, ah, and that was probably 2 years ago. I made a concerted effort to just be impeccable with my word and the way I spoke to men, because if I'm going to speak and I'm going to give them something, I want to be able to have them hear it. Or if I'm speaking to anybody, you know, in my business, my tenants, my workers, my wife, you know, my friends, my family, it just goes across the board.
Interesting. Yeah, one thing I love about the men's division and the circles that we run is that we're free. The expression is free. You can let it fly. And a lot of times the truth is not spoken. But I think what we might find on this show is a way of being truthful, factual, honest, without being even controlled or like having to talk a certain way. I mean, if somebody is really listening to us clearly, the way I understand this model that will be portrayed today is the person listening will not even feel attacked by you. Like Rick, you could be saying, "You motherfucker, what the yeah," and they could actually just listen to, "Oh yeah, look at Rick, he's kind of frustrated." You know, it's not gonna be like, "Oh Rick, say it a different way so that you're nicer." You know, it's not like that. I think there's a way that we can be raw, masculine spirit with still being, you know, honorable and truthful and not, like, rip people to shreds. At the same time, we don't need to control ourselves and be anything but nice. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, trust me. I'm still a hammer in my circles. I'm still a man who is real good at holding people accountable. It's my way of being. And it's not like I'm coming, you know, it's not like I'm looking for acceptance or I'm looking for them to, you know, to give me feedback or anything like that. It's just that it's my way of being. Instead of being this, like, in this really immature, heightened energy, maybe a more subdued, but, you know, just really, with real good intent on what I'm saying. You know, and are making a connection, a real good eye connection, moving forward, putting my hand on someone's heart, and asking them first, "Can I put my hand on your heart?" And then really delivering to them. It allowed me to get closer and more intimate in the space. And then also, like I said, it carried over, because in the real, you know, the circle's one place, the real world's another place. And, you know, I can't deliver like, and that was going into the real world. And I could do that, but it wasn't supporting my life to be delivering to people and acting like that. So maybe that makes it more clear.
Yeah, definitely.
Or clearer.
Clearer. And the thing that I know that we have in the circle is also this phrase, a couple phrases. I mean, we do have the phrase, be a good listener. You know, we have that in our relationships, be a good listener. And we also have this thing where we tell men who are being really defensive, "Hey, just take it in, take in what's being given to you." You know, so there is this sense of listening skills. So I say, why don't we just jump into introduce our experts of communication and start playing with the campaign? What do you say?
Yes, absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, so we have in studio today Jean Peterson. She's been practicing compassion-focused communication for 20 years. She lives in San Diego, where she happens to love boogie boarding with her children and her dog. She's the author of Falling to Heaven, a novel of Tibet. And so, hi, Gene, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Super. And we have John Mishno. He's in San Diego as well. He's been practicing a model called nonviolent communication, or also compassionate communication, for 10 years. He actually facilitates group exploration experiences in conflict resolution. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Jim. It's great to be here. It's fun to meet you, all of you out there.
Yes. So we're going to have some fun. I figured what we could do is I'm just going to read off a line. What I've done is I've gathered a few lines from Hillary and a few lines from Trump. These are two of the major candidates out there, in case anyone hasn't noticed. And then Gene can play Hillary, John can play Trump, and we'll just listen in as Hillary or Trump attacks the other and see what a listening, compassionate person would actually do in that situation. So let's see how it goes. So I'll just start with Hillary. So Hillary, let's see. I have this one line that she said. You can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables, right? Racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. So Hillary, can you just read that first part about the basket of deplorables, and let's see what Trump would say if he actually had a compassionate bone in his body.
To just be grossly generalistic, you can put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables, right?
Ooh.
Hillary, it sounds like you have a need for basic respect about how all people feel and a wish to nurture the good feelings among our population so we can all work in harmony. You know, really, you're probably really wanting people to be received by our society with a sense of welcome and kindness and maybe open-hearted curiosity rather than fear. Maybe you're also wanting fairness for people, for all Americans. You know, I want you to know I am so proud of my supporters. Together, we are making America great again, and I'm inviting all my supporters to do that in a way that is fair, respectful, honoring, and loyal to America.
Whoa. What do you think of that, Rick? I mean, was that weird?
That was pretty cool. That was very unique for me. I would have been like, I would have given a Trump-esque answer. So.
What would Trump have said, you think? What would Trump say? I mean, the real Trump.
Say the real Trump? He would go, he would say, you put me on the spot here, Jimmy, but it's okay. He would say, he would probably wouldn't address the question at all. He'd probably just start attacking Hillary's pantsuit. That pantsuit is hideous. I can't believe you're wearing that on the air. Who does your hair and makeup? My God. You know, he would just go after something else. Like, that's what he would do, probably.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I was thinking what those two do, if you watch the debates, one person will attack the other, and the other one won't respond to that at all. He'll just start talking about, for example, well, what's really deplorable is the 33,000 emails. So he'll just jump into the next thing, and then she'll do the same thing. Well, but they'll make it sound like they're responding to it, but they're not. They're just jumping into the next attack. So, all right, so cool. Let's go on to the next one. Let's have of course, Trump has you are a crooked Hillary and you should be in jail. That's a good one. So why don't you deliver, Mr. Trump, why don't you deliver that first line and see how it goes with a very compassionate Hillary.
You are crooked Hillary and you deserve to be in jail.
Donald, when I hear you say that, I really sense some outrage in you. And I wonder if you're feeling concerned about justice being served and about everybody being responsible to the rule of law, including me. So I'd like to welcome you to email any specific feedback you might have to my campaign manager. And I want to reassure you, Donald, and my voters, all voters, that my actions have been reviewed by legal experts in our government.
Well, this is crazy. I don't think the legal experts can confirm your innocence. This is you need to be in jail immediately.
I still hear a lot of concern from you, Donald, and that you want to make sure that this election process is fair and that everyone is held accountable. And I can really understand why you feel that way.
You're a liar and the devil, and you have hate in your heart.
It sounds like you want to make sure that our leaders are honest and trustworthy. You'd like to know that the leaders lead our society safely and that they have good intentions and that they love our people in this country, our greatest treasure, our people. So I noticed that you called me a liar and a devil and that I have hate, but you didn't provide any specific examples of what you really mean by that. I've worked with women, children, the elderly, and men to create a national task force to sew communities together in town meetings just like this one.
Well, that's no fun. I don't know. Would that be good TV? I don't know if that would get much ratings or Facebook responses. What do you think, Rick?
That's exactly what, you know, yeah. I don't know if that would produce some, some revenue on any levels. I was hoping, can I get a chance to talk like Hillary to Trump now?
You got something?
She just wanted to let loose.
Oh, wait, so you have a Hillary quote for Trump?
No, no.
I want to do
Hillary if she wasn't so compassionate and calm.
Oh, okay, go ahead. Be Hillary.
Listen here, you orange-faced Oompa Loompa. You are a sexist rat bastard. You should drop out of this race. You have no qualifications. You are the king of deplorables. And what's up with that hair? I'm confused.
Well, Hillary, it sounds like you're really wanting somebody who is somebody who the public can relate to and that the public feels safe with. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes.
You really care about our people and you want them to all feel a warm connection to our leaders.
Yes, Mr. Trump, but you're not fit. Look at all this. Where's your taxes? Where are those damn taxes? Put those taxes out there.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really caring about, you know, making sure that the books are balanced and revenue is all flowing together to make everything work well. I really get that too, and I've got a team of crack accountants that are on top of this. I rest assured, you know, I want to work with you and join forces bipartisan after the election. I want to work with you to get your input into our budget process as well. You'll be an important part of our government going forward, Hillary.
You know what, Mr. Trump? I think you've turned me. I'm going to calm down now, you great man. Come here and give me a big kiss.
You great man. I like your hair now, too. Well, that brings up a question. What's that?
But I have a question. This is Jean, and I just was wondering, what do we do if we just set off people's bullshit meter?
Oh, that's what I was going to ask, too. I was going to ask that as well. So check it out, because some of what John was presenting as Trump could sound like bullshit. Like, this person is just spinning again. It's not truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like compassion can be used as a tool to spin. So let me ask John, Mr. Compassionate Communication, have you ever heard that theory, and what do you all do in your groups around that? Just call bullshit, or what?
Well, that's a really key thing is, there's two parts to compassion. One is listening to the other person with caring, and that caring is created by paying attention to two things. What is the other person feeling, and then what's their underlying motivation? What are they needing? But that's only half of being compassionate, right? Because if I'm compassionate toward you, but I'm never compassionate toward myself, that's not going to work very long. So to be compassionate about myself, I've got to express some honesty, right? I've actually got to talk about what's inside me that's maybe troubling me. It might be difficult for me to hear that honesty. And that's the other half of being compassionate.
Yeah, it's a good point because my concern, what happened in my life is I did compassion communication classes, And I was like really in touch with like really being authentic to feelings and needs and listening to others. And then I did the men's work, and I saw this freedom of expression where you just could call bullshit, you could tell the truth, and it felt like that was more freeing, and that compassionate communication could easily turn into weakness and just like allowing the other person to run their BS, and to give empathy to that, it felt so unreal that was there a place where you could actually just say, wait a minute, I'm not believing that. And then later I learned that in compassionate communication, it's not like you're just being nice and fake. It's the opposite. You're not fake. You could actually say, you know what, I'm having trouble with this. I don't understand. Like, my gut is not clear. I'm not getting that you're telling me the truth. I'm not getting it. So it's actually a way to be honest, right, Sean? I mean, you can still be honest. You don't have to pretend anything.
That's right, yeah. And sometimes part of our honesty will be that we will be expressing feelings that are maybe not as comfortable to experience. You know, we may even express some anger or just some, you know, some sadness or maybe distrust, really needing to know that what the other person is presenting us is what's going on.
Yeah. So, Gene, like, what do you do in that situation if you're compassionately listening to someone and you believe they may even be lying, maybe even just to themselves, like they might be BSing themselves? What do you do in that situation?
I think the key issue here is there's nothing wrong with communicating a feeling. It's how you do it. So instead of, say, calling someone a liar, you're going to say, I'm feeling in my gut like I'm just feeling distrust right now. And can you help me understand what you're saying so that I can be a little bit more clear about this?
So I don't know what you hear, Rick, but what I hear is responsibility, like real responsibility of owning your what you're feeling, what you're perceiving, without calling names or anything like that. Is that what you hear, Rick?
Yeah, I'm in this whole conversation. I'm just trying to think in the world in today's day and age. Is this like a solution, or is this something that really can happen? Because this is great. Like, we're going back and forth. We're talking about what's possible. You know, great brought up, like, you know, it's someone smelling bullshit, or, you know, someone's not believing in the other person. But, you know, at the end of the, and again, this is probably coming, the question that comes from inside of me, because I want to be this type of person, but it seems like in this world, it's if you do, it's like you're going to get gobbled up. You're going to get, you know, taken advantage of. There's a lot of things, you know, so that's what's coming up for me. Like, I'm hearing all this, but I'm thinking, okay, so yeah, if 10 people do this, you know, maybe it'll cause other people to do it. But if not everybody plays by these same rules, you know, I don't know if this is a solution, if this is a viable solution. That's what I'm thinking right now.
One of the strengths of nonviolent communication is that you get to say what you feel without provoking the other person to build a wall. Speaking of walls, right? So, you it's a way of communicating that sort of disarms your opponent, because you're not really doing anything that's attacking. And so your message is much more likely to land the way you want it to if you're not attacking. And the other person is much more likely to hear you. So it's like having an amplifier by using this different way of communicating. Instead of, if you have someone attacking, you can just basically watch their ear flaps go down. I'm not listening to you, you know. So that's one of the real strengths of nonviolent communication that I think is powerful and can give you more of a sense of being empowered rather than a sense of being walked over.
Yeah. You know, I've been the one person you're talking about. If 10 people are doing it, it's actually a magic place, because they have gatherings of
nonviolent communication groups. You know, actually, John has a group that he holds, I think, once a month. Is that right? Mm-hmm. And then I used to go to that, and I felt so happy and joyous because I knew I was around other what they call giraffes. They call them giraffes, where you stick your neck out and you really try to listen, rather than be what they call a jackal, which is an attack mode. Like if you picture those animals, you know, a jackal is just attacking. So in those gatherings with 10 people all doing the same thing, oh, my gosh, you're in heaven because you know you're going to get heard. You know you're going to get some empathy for whatever's going on with you, and whatever you say, they're not going to spin it on you or attack you back. Well, that happens sometimes. But, you know, there's enough giraffes around to corral this thing. But I have also been the one person, among others, where I'm practicing this, and it is a pain. I experience pain because I'm actually becoming vulnerable. I'm sharing, like, taking off my mask and saying, this is how I feel, this is what I need. And then to get attacked in that place, you've got to stay so centered and so strong and vigilant in your listening to others that you don't take on the attack, but you still stay listening to them. So even if they're saying, you're an asshole, you fucking piece of shit, if you can stay centered and go, wow, I'm really curious. Are you okay? What's going on with you? Are you frustrated? Are you mad? Like, that's hard to do because you just, inside of me, I just want to fight. So, John or Gene, can you talk about when you are out there and you are vulnerable and you've shared your feelings and needs and then you get attacked, is it okay just to pick up a gun and shoot them? Right. You know, you were describing that. It made me think of a story I had. You know, I had a boss who came to me, and he was upset that something wasn't getting done with the kind of timeliness or quality that he was looking for. And he was really upset. You know, he just lit into me. And, I took a deep breath. And in that moment, I was able to just get really succinct. And instead of shifting into defending, I was able to look at him in the eye and say, are you pissed? And when he heard that, I could just see, like, him let out a breath. And, you know, he wasn't holding his breath anymore, and he said, yes, I'm pissed. And then most of it was over. You know, then he said, you know, what he wanted, and he gave me really specific instructions, and then I went on to do the work, and we were back together with some mutual respect.
Yeah, actually, Rick, I've seen John in action, and sometimes I'll actually call him when I'm freaking out or pissed off, because he is, John, you're really awesome at staying centered and not reacting. So I don't know if that's because, you know, you've lost your mind, you're disconnected, you're disfranchised, you Aquarian, but or you're very enlightened, dude. I don't know. It's really amazing. So I don't know, Rick. Have you ever been in a situation where you were able to stay centered rather than defensive reactive?
No. So short answer is no. And also the way John, like if I'm delivering to somebody and they just give me what John gave me, sometimes I get more angry. Because like I'm looking to pick a, in that moment, I'm looking to have a dialogue, pick a fight, whatever you want to call it. And because I'm not getting what I want and I'm not getting the reaction I want, I'm getting more frustrated, so I'm getting more, you know, upset about it. I wish I was more like John.
Yeah, I mean, they could get more upset with that response, and that's why that response has to come from a really heartful place and not sort of a dissociated brain state, you know, where somebody's reading from a script. So I think the eye contact carry the day for me that day, and his sense that I really was interested in, and I was wanting to hear him.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's the key that I have found is if you're authentic and you really do want to connect with someone, they're going to pick up on that ultimately. And if they don't and they react, then, you know, it's not on you. It's not on me, but I'm not there. I mean, it sounds good. You know, I'm not totally there yet. I'm getting closer to just being centered and staying with the person. It is definitely a challenge. And the other thing I know, and I know we're running swiftly out of time. We're going to complete in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
The other thing I know too, is that if you are triggered, and I'll have you two comment on this, let's say someone's talking to you and you're trying to you're trying just to stay compassionate and listening and connecting with them. They say something and you're lit up and you do want to fight. What do you suggest in that situation?
Breathe. First and foremost, breathe. It takes enormous patience. Just sit with your feelings and try to figure out what do you really want to communicate, not just react.
And then ask, you know, what am I feeling in this moment? Maybe it'll be pissed off. And then underneath that, ask, what do I want in this situation? What's my need? What's my underlying motivation in this situation? And that's going to help you to deep breathe even deeper.
What I've heard in the past too is, in addition to this and related to it, is to give yourself compassion. You, when you're triggered, you instantly need compassion. You instantly need empathy. You want someone to get it. You want to be understood. And a lot of times it's not the person standing across from you. So that means maybe going to a friend, maybe taking a time out. I have noticed in our circles, Rick, when we've asked the question, what do you need? We ask this a lot. What do you need right now? What do you need? It shifts the context, because it does. It shifts the context inside someone's brain from, well, I'm pissed off because I'm not getting something, to, huh, what do I need? I mean, it's. Have you noticed that, Rick?
Yeah, well, in some of my on teams I've been on, we made it a standard. Demand what you need. So it's not only ask for it, it's demand it. It's like, this is what I need. This is what I'm asking for. And it's very freeing, you know?
Yeah. So I wanted to mention, there's two more things. I did want to do one more line, and we only have a very short amount of time. One more line from maybe one or the other. And the other thing I want to mention is I believe that compassion and empathy have been thrown into this realm of feminine. It's feminine. And I want to call bullshit on that. I'm saying there's a masculine spirit that can maintain itself and still be present in a way that does listen, that does take care of, that does, you know, take it in. I just want to say that because I just feel like it's been cut up into this realm of masculine and feminine, and then, you know, we have to, like, I don't know, be thugs.
You know, I think about exercising compassion like going to the gym and working out a different set of muscles. Men evolved in our civilizations over millennia to be the protectors. We had to go into a state of rage to ward off wild animals and other predators. So we've really honed those skills. And if we can go to the gym and work on our muscles of compassion, that enables us to really go the entire breadth of human expression and to make those connections maybe with a vulnerable child that's scared of that kind of, you know, shouting and scaring. So this is a good opportunity to develop lots of resilience and flexibility.
Well, So I have a question. So Gene or John, like where can a man get that now, like today, right now?
Yeah, a man can check out, just go to the website and type in NVC for Nonviolent Communication and find a group in your city. It also goes by the name of Compassionate Communication. That's one place you can get it. Another place is I would definitely recommend finding somebody who's practiced in it, but then take it to your men and create ways to practice it with each other in a way that's safe and still honors your masculinity.
Beautiful.
Sweet. I wanted to mention
you,
too, for
can I ask Gene also, Gene, where do you think that men can find, or anybody can find that?
Well, I would second what John said, but I think also you can sort of listen to yourself and think about what friends or people in my life do I feel most able to just be myself and to be heard and to have whatever I may be feeling be okay and work towards go towards those people. Those are the kinds of people that are going to help you build these muscles.
Sweet.
Excellent. Thank you.
I want to thanks for that, Rick. That's cool. I wanted to mention for our listeners to find us. We are on right now. The best way to find us is on Facebook. Some of us, some of you all may have heard of it, Facebook.com. And just type in and search With All Dude Respect, With All Dude Respect. So find it there. I want to end on a quote, if that's okay. It was very interesting when, you know, of course, Trump was, he said a few things about, you know, grabbing a certain body part of a female. And then Trump came back with, and this is what I want to hear Hillary respond to. Trump said something about abusive to women. Do you have that line here? Here, go ahead and read this, Mr. Trump, this line right here. There's never been anybody. Go ahead.
There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. Bill Clinton was abusive to women.
Donald, it sounds like you, when you hear some narratives of how Bill supposedly interacted with women, you feel outraged, maybe you feel disgust, and that you're really wanting to express caring for women and respect for women and make sure that they be treated right. And I want to reassure you that I have the same wish you do.
What would you say?
Wow, I'm a little bit of at a loss for this one. I don't know.
There you go. And that's how the debate would end. Two lost people wondering, hey, how do I not attack the next one? So anyway, that's our show. Thank you, Gene. Thank you, John, for being on our show. Appreciate you being here.
Yay, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. It was a blast.
Awesome. All right, so with all due respect, remember, we're at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time every Friday, 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Any parting words from Mr. Ricky?
Just everybody have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Don't forget to turn your clocks back.
Right on. And give compassion a try, but if you need to, do it with a hammer. All right, thank you, folks.
Nice.